Chapter 45. Lysander. All-Father. Diomedes's face is the picture of horror, but his Katari is already at the impostor's throat. Zagria and the others surround them both. Diomedes whispers, "Remove the binds, are you?" In several places, the plating on the impostor's armor slides up to reveal honeycomb apertures from shin guard to pauldron. Something sprays out in all directions, a fine mist. Diomedes jerks backward and screams. So do Zagria and the Dustwalkers. The impostor steps back from Diomedes's Katari. I lunge for Zagria to retrieve my razor. I don't go far. Immense pain stabs through the back of my hand. I turn it to see the skin pierced with dozens of tiny hair-like spines that resemble the glochidia of a cactus. A scream explodes up from my throat. My muscles cramp and my body seizes as the pain spreads. Diomedes and Zagria fall, twitching and screaming. I stumble and tumble sideways, body landing halfway out of the shroud of darkness that encloses the command triangle. I'm greeted with the sounds of gunfire. The greater bridge is a scene of carnage. The companions the impostor brought onto the bridge with him have already finished killing off the bridge greys and have moved on to the crew, walking around the pits, firing down till their barrels glow with heat. They were killing as soon as the shroud went up. Despite the agony in my muscles, I managed to crawl into the shroud toward Zagria. The sounds of gunfire disappear. Zagria and Diomedes twitch like fish on a fisherman's deck. The impostor casually shoots the three downed dustwalkers in their heads and walks over to Zagria to stomp on her throat until I hear a crunch. He looks down at me with Helios's face and sighs. I didn't want you to be here. But if you're going to eat sausage, you should be able to stomach seeing how it's made. He leaves me there and heads for Diomedes. Who are you? Diomedes slurs from the ground. I brace myself to watch Diomedes' death as the impostor approaches him. Instead, the impostor draws what looks like a black egg and cracks it over Diomedes' head. Inky liquid spreads over Diomedes' head before constricting. He can likely hear nor see nothing, but it looks like he can breathe beneath the material. The impostor then lifts the cestus. It glows a deep, dark gold and writhes as he assumes direct control of the ship's main systems. Ignorant of the attack, the fleet outside continues its contraction. Kalicki draws closer and closer, and a realization comes over me. If this is not Helios, then Helios's torch ships have not scouted the moon, and Far is likely not on Io at all. The Rim forces are ghost sailing into an ambush. My vision warps from the pain shrieking through my muscles. Everything takes on a nightmarish aspect. A helmeted grey in phoenix armor phases into the shroud, his gun smoking and still red hot.
Bridge clear, Dominus. Silent alarm cut. We're ghosts.
The impostor waves the shroud away. All around us, the impostor's tiny group of golds and greys put the finishing touches on their gory coup. The bridge is no longer under Dominion control. Diomedes' mouth is locked in a silent scream behind the inky mask that snares his head. His body is no longer moving. He seems completely paralyzed. The pain in my body is excruciating, but I'm not paralyzed. Not totally. I should be immobile, but I can still wiggle my fingers and toes.
Hardline neutralized. One of the girls calls from a defense pit. I have the fleet commandment key, one of the greys adds.
Only she's not a grey because no grey has hardline ports built into her temples. She's hooked into a console like a green.
Implanting the helminth. 2 minutes. That's fine. We're early, the impostor says. I will apprise Pale Horse.
His voice is still Helios's, but his cadence is not.
It was the way I carried my weight and my limp, wasn't it?
He asks Diomedes, though Diomedes cannot hear him. His fingers dance through the air as he sends a tight beam signal at Kelliki and waits for a reply.
Helios bears on the outer metatarsal. Should have practiced that more. Sloppy of me.
A ship answers the tight beam. It is not a face that greets us, but a swarm of locusts that coalesce into the likeness of a head.
Is it done?
Stage one complete. Virus on schedule. Initiate stage two. Remember, no prisoners.
Fiat voluntas tua. All father, accept these stains.
Fiat voluntas tua. Let thy will be done. The signal dies. I stop trying to wiggle my legs as the impostor turns to look at me and see if I understand. I do. The eyes are different, the face, the voice, but my unconscious mind knows who the impostor is beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is Atlas Aura. He's not hunting Darrow, he's not on Earth, he's not pacifying South America. He never was. He had plans, he'd said. Plans that could not be derailed. That's why he urged me to keep my distance from Diomedes. Why Atalantia smirked as she left after my speech in the Colosseum. He's working with the Ascomani, the very people he spent years trying to kill for Octavia. He's going to destroy the Rim Armada. But why? For what possible gain? I ask, but I know the answer. The Rim never paid the bill for their rebellion. Now Atlas and his Gorgons have come to collect. Under the locusts, that was him, Volsung Fa. Even though the signal is dead, the sounds of the locusts fill my ears with dread. Death is here, and famine is coming. The grey in the comms pit, a Gorgon, shouts, "Helminth ready!"
"Send it," Atlas says, and begins to conduct the ship with the Cestus.
A chaos of holographic globes with information appears around him. First, he begins to spool massive amounts of energy in the reactors. Second, he takes control of the anti-ship guns and gathers targeting solutions. Last, he calls Dido. Diomedes cannot hear or see or even thrash anymore by the time the hologram of his mother appears.
Helios, the fleet was nearly finished its contraction. Your visual is down.
Dido's brow furrows. She pauses, referencing something.
Why are you spooling your reactor? Your scouts have enemy...
Dido al-Saud, for the crime of treason against your society, I sentence you to death.
Dido stares back without expression.
All power to...
Her signal goes out in a wash of static. Due to the contraction maneuver, the distance that separates the two flagships of the Rim Armada is small. A few hundred meters at most. The Dragonsong believed itself to be safe, surrounded by its fleet, and nestled above the great mass of the most powerful ship in their civilization. Its shields were down to not tax its reactors and to keep its thermal signature low. Stealth was the priority. So when the Dustmaker fires at point-blank range into the unshielded belly of the smaller ship, the devastation is immediate. A barrage of heavy rail slugs follows, and then several atomics. It is a death salvo aimed directly at Dido's buried bridge. Her dreadnought is too big even for the Dustmaker to kill with one salvo, so Atlas fires three. The third cleaves into the superstructure of the ship itself and breaks the Dragon Song's back. The ship is nearly cut in two. Diomedes has no idea his mother is now less than dust. The pain in my muscles and bones has faded from white hot to a steady red. I test an arm. It moves sluggishly. I don't think anyone noticed. The mind's eye is impossible to grasp. It can't be that. So it must be the poison leech Dido gave me. I kept it on because of the lingering effects of the lament, and also my growing paranoia. It's metabolizing the poison, just not fast enough. It seems Atlas is only just getting started. He expands the battlesphere hologram. Hollows of the Rim fleet throb around him. All those ships and all those men look like toys in his hands.
Fiat justitia et periat mundus, the Gorgons shout.
Atlas feels no need to say anything. He lifts the binds of Zeus and closes it into a fist. Every gun and torpedo tube on the Moonbreaker fires at the engines of every Dominion ship within range. Shields only work if they are on. If they're on, they radiate on sensors like torches in the night. With Kalaki deemed clear of enemies and stealth the priority, shields across the fleet are down. The barrage is more gruesomely effective than it ever could be in a pitched battle. It does not destroy the Rim Armada, but it has the same effect that iron caltrops would have on a cavalry charge. Soon, Atlas is surrounded by ships' bleeding atmosphere, made dark by the loss of power or with their engines burping blue and black plumes. The reaction of the rest of the fleet is impressive. Even as they hail the Dustmaker, they open fire on her. Though the Dustmaker is a powerful ship, it has no hope against the entire armada. Soon the bridge begins to shudder as the Rim Praetors gnaw through the Dustmaker's shield. The Dustmaker fires back with its huge guns. Then the second phase of Atlas's trap springs. As the fleet fights the chaos at its center, waves of torpedoes flicker up from Kalaki, where launchers must have been installed in the surface of the pocked moon. Thousands of torpedoes, tens of thousands, hoarded for this death blow. I am staggered by the sight. Rim ships race to intercept. As they do, the third evolution of Atlas's trap comes around the curve of Kalaki. It is the coup de grâce. The fleet of Volsung Fa is not on Io. It is here. Hidden behind the mass of Kalaki, it now races for the besieged Rim Armada. I feel the doom that must grip the hearts of the Rim Praetors as they see the repurposed Republic destroyers and torchships, painted with the crescent sigil of the Volk, streaming toward them. Between those ships stream hundreds of the misshapen smaller craft belonging to the Askamani. And at the center of the enemy, the wrecking balls, four dreadnoughts and Judei's stolen Pandora. Those Rim ships, whose engines were not hit by the Dustmaker, could flee. Their ships are faster than the coming enemy. But if they flee, they leave their brothers and sisters behind. They make the brave choice. The stupid choice. They choose to stay to fight and die with honor. Chaos swirls around Atlas. Gruff Rim Praetors bark commands. Blue Ripwing pilots chatter as they race out of their hangars toward the barbarians. Long-range weapons fire between the two navies. Flak screens deploy. Slender corvettes and fast torchships meet first. Waves of smaller fighter craft merge and spit fire at one another. And then Fa's wrecking balls unite their fire and start to kill Rim capital ships one at a time. With Atlas guiding them, it seems so cold and sinister that I begin to hate the very idea of war. I cannot let this stand. The leech is doing its work. The pain is nearly gone now. My body feels like mine again, but I do not know if I can walk, much less fight. I can't change the battle. Not now. I will have precious few moments before I'm cut down by the Gorgons. What can I do in those moments to make a difference? My eyes fall on Diomedes. I can save him. Carefully, I check the path to the escape pod doors down by the crew pits. Are they connected to the cestus? No, I see manual levers. I can save Diomedes, and then maybe I can save myself. The gravity isn't too heavy. I can carry him. I have to be sure enough the poison is out of my system. Soon the Gorgons are busy with Rim troops trying to get through the bridge doors. I wait for Atlas's attention to focus on an important firefight, and I slowly get up. My legs and arms feel like lead. Ants tattoo behind my eyes. I take a step. Atlas turns. I lunge for the grenade on Zagria's belt, thumb the detonator, and hurl it at Atlas. He turns and slaps it back toward me. It passes over my head and detonates down below. I fling Zagria's razor at him. It takes him through the left shoulder. Lunging for Diomedes, I trip over Zagria's leg and fall. Scrambling across the floor, I grab Diomedes' foot and drag him off the command deck. We tumble down the stairs together. I sway up, grab his jacket collar, and pull for all I'm worth. Atlas shouts at his men to hold their fire. I'm close to an escape pod door. Boots pound behind me. I haul the release lever up. The door hisses open. I'm hit with a stun munition beneath my right shoulder blade. The limb goes numb, but the force of the shot hurls Diomedes and me into the pod. I'm about to launch it when a whip snares my left ankle and I'm jerked back onto the bridge. I slap at the door controls as I pass. The tips of my fingers brush them. The pod door closes. With a loud series of clangs, the pod clicks into place and fires down its escape chute with Diomedes inside. I hope he can evade the battle outside, recover, and make his way back to his forces. But with no one to pilot the pod, with that maelstrom raging outside, I know he's as good as dead. The gold gorgon who snagged my foot with his razor turns me over. His face is half gone from the grenade. He beats my face until I swallow a tooth, then he frisks me and jerks out the leech. He drags me back to Atlas, pins my head sideways to the deck with his boot, and puts his razor to my temple.
Talk, Sleech. They missed it. Waste him.
Not yet, Atlas says.
He's a fucking sympathizer.
Atlas ignores him and calls to the others.
Don't forget the scalps.
I see the world sideways. Blood pools at Atlas's feet from his wounded shoulder, but the man only stops conducting the battle when the Dustmaker has soaked up too much damage to contribute any more. He turns on me as Obsidian and Ascomani troop barges swarm rim ships like lice.
They'll be through any minute, Dominus, a Gorgon calls.
They'll have more than us to worry about soon enough, Atlas says.
He squats in front of me.
I needed Diomedes alive, Lysander. You just killed him by sending him out into that.
What have you done? I snarl.
The metal boot presses harder on my head.
Avenged a litany of transgressions. He sighs. Truth be told, Atalantia ordered me to kill you both. But what she doesn't know won't hurt her. Bring him. We're done here.
He drops the cestus to the deck. The Gorgons plant charges at key junctions around the bridge and follow behind us via the executive passage with a haul of scalps. Exiting the lift, we cross the private hangar to the shuttle they rode in on.
Halt! Put your weapons down!
A voice roars. A line of dustwalkers bars our passage. Atlas seems unconcerned. His men toss down their weapons.
On your knees!
Atlas and his men obey.
It's not Helios, I shout. It's Atlas!
The lead dustwalker's eyes widen in apprehension. Then her head disappears above the lower jaw. All but three of the rest are mowed down before she hits the ground. The remaining dustwalkers leap away like grasshoppers and come apart mid-air, victims of flawless squad shooting. Atlas picks his weapon back up and stands.
Ignis!
A familiar voice calls from across the hangar. My heart drops.
Lunae!
Atlas calls.
I turn to see my squad of 10 Praetorians melt out of the shadows.
They move toward us in tactical formation and lower their weapons. My heart grows cold as Roan, Marcus, Demetrius, Drusilla, and the rest of the Praetorians Roan handpicked to accompany me on the Dustmaker doff their helmets. They're grinning ear to ear and not at me. Atlas greets them all by name.
Barely got here in time, Flavinia says, Ascomania landing all over this ship. The bill is paid.
For the Sword Armada and more besides, Atlas says. Where's the Raw? Marcus asks. One of the Gorgons hurls the Toxleech at him.
Don't squabble, lads. There's always a kink, Atlas says.
He nods to the shuttle, and I'm pushed along.
So few of you, Flavinius.
Helios only allowed the blood to bring 10 Praetorians, Roan answers.
Atlas looks back at me and grins.
You have excellent taste in troops, young loon.
With that, he swoops up the cargo ramp, and Marcus cracks a black egg over my head.